most holy and wonderful Heavenly Father, we again come to Thee. And Father, as we come before Thee, we come with a realization that in our own hearts, in our own minds, we cannot know anything at all. We realize that our minds are sin-tainted. We realize that our minds are very finite. Father, therefore, we are so grateful that we have Thy Word as the guide for our lives, that we have Thy Word to show us the path that we are to walk. But, Father, we admit that many times when we look at that path, we do not like what Thou hast laid out for us. Many times it does not agree with what we think we ought to do. And, O Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wilt instill within us an intense desire to be obedient to Thy Word. For, Father, we know only as we are obedient to Thy Word, then we are living a life that is glorifying to Thee. And, Father, may that be the desire of our heart, that in everything that we do to Thy name's honor and glory. Now, Father, we're going to begin to talk about this matter of divorce and remarriage. And Father, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit will lead us into truth as we look at Thy Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have come in our study of the Gospel of Mark to the 10th chapter, the 2nd verse. This is the beginning of a statement in the Bible that gives us very definite instruction concerning the institution of marriage. It is a statement that, when we look at it very carefully, establishes the principle that there is not to be divorce for any reason whatsoever. We're going to find as we go on into it that it declares in verse 9, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." That, we're going to find, is the principle that we are to live by. But let's look at this now, verse by verse. Remember, in our last study, we looked at verse 2, and we saw that the Pharisees, they were the rulers in the church of that day, they came to him, that is to Jesus, and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" Tempting him. We spoke a little bit about that in our last study as to why this would be a temptation to Jesus. But I also think of this, that this is the very question with which mankind, the leaders in the church, are tempting God again today. The Pharisees had concluded, as we shall see in our study, had concluded that indeed a man could put away his wife for any reason whatsoever. And we'll see presently why this is so. And today, the same is almost identically true in the church. We find that church after church has declared, yes, indeed, you can put away your wife for fornication, for desertion, the wife can put away her husband for these same things. If the wife is ill-treated by the husband, there can be divorce. And the list of reasons for divorce has become longer and longer. And effectively, again, the church is tempting God. What will God do about this? Well, let's see once what the Bible has to say about this question. Now, the first thing that Jesus reminded them of was, He answered and said unto them, "What did Moses command you?" Now, he's referring to a part of the ceremonial law that is found back in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. Well, it's actually 1 through 4. Let's read that a moment. There we read, "When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement and giveth in her hand and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now here God has laid down the rule that if a man found some uncleanness in his wife, then he could divorce her. Incidentally, in the King James Bible, it acts like then she is able to marry someone else. In our King James Bible, it says, and when she is departed out of his house, that is after she has been divorced, she may go and be another man's wife. But that word may is not in the original. Actually, God is not indicating that she can go out and be another man's wife. He's simply saying that if she go and be another man's wife, and then that man die or divorce her, she cannot go back to her first spouse. She has become defiled by becoming another man's wife. That is really the way we have to understand this part of the ceremonial law that we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 24. We wonder, why did God introduce that law? Going back to Mark chapter 10, verse 3, Jesus said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, the Pharisees said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. Now notice that they did not say that they could write a bill of divorcement only if there were uncleanness found. They just simply said that Moses permitted them to write a bill of divorcement and put her away. And then Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept, but from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. Now how are we to understand all of this? I've already indicated that Deuteronomy 24 is part of the ceremonial law. In the ceremonial law, God has laid down rules that are pointing to some spiritual application. The Israelites were to obey those ceremonial laws. They were such laws that had to do with the eating of certain kinds of food. They were laws that had to do with the kind of seed that was planted in the field. They were laws that had to do with burnt offerings and blood sacrifices. And there were also laws that dealt with the marriage relationship. There were particularly two laws in the Old Testament that dealt with the marriage relationship, and both of them were introduced in order to focus on a spiritual application. In Deuteronomy 22, verse 22, this is the first law. We'll look at that first for a moment. In Deuteronomy 22, verse 22, we read, if a man be found lying with a woman married to her and husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. In other words, if a married man, commits adultery, well, it doesn't even talk about a married man. If a man commits adultery with someone who is married to someone else, then they both are to die. In other words, in the Old Testament, God had commanded that adultery was to be punishable by death. Now notice it says, if a man be found lying with a woman. It's in a case where the actual adulterous act has been discovered, or the parties were discovered in the act, then they were to be put to death. On the other hand, God gave another law, and we'll look a little bit later at the spiritual application of this. Another law was laid down in these first four verses of Deuteronomy 24. Here it talks about a man that's married to a wife, and he hath found some uncleanness in her. Then he could divorce her. Now, she could not marry someone else because that would defile her. That she would be defiled. The implication here is she would have to remain single. But nevertheless, he was allowed to divorce her. And this is the law that Jesus is calling attention to here, or the Pharisees are calling attention to here in Mark chapter 10. And Jesus' answer is to them, well, Moses gave that law, that is, God spoke through holy men of old, including Moses. This law, therefore, was given by God for the hardness of your hearts. Now, the word hardness of your hearts is a statement that indicates that because you are still unsaved. It is a word that correlates with those who are unsaved. Therefore, God gave that law. Now, is God teaching here that he simply is accommodating himself to their lustful desires? So that, all right, if they want a divorce, let them have a divorce? Well, in a sense, God does do that today. Those who insist on divorcing are not struck down dead. God allows them to divorce. If in their sinfulness, in their rebellion against God, they're insisting on a divorce, well, God lets them have that. But that's an action, of course, that indicates they're in total rebellion against God. And that has to be dealt with at Judgment Day. And so Israel also was going to have to deal with this matter at Judgment Day. But that is not the focal point of this statement, for the hardness of your heart. You see, the Bible teaches that in the Old Testament, God had an external representation of the kingdom of God here on this earth, and that was national Israel. That was the nation of Israel as a corporate body. And God also indicates that he became married to this, spiritually married to this corporate body, national Israel. He actually, the Bible uses language to indicate this. For example, in Isaiah 50, verse 1. Isaiah 50, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, where, and he's talking to Israel, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? He's talking about Israel that he divorced. In other passages, he uses very similar language. We read, for example, in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14, as he talks to Israel, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And verse 8 as he of Jeremiah 3, as he talks to Judah, as contrasted with the 10 tribes Israel, he says, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. You see, God had married himself spiritually to national Israel as a corporate body, as an external corporate body. Because of their continued fornication, because of their continued uncleanness, therefore it was God's intention to divorce her. The problem, however, is that there was nothing in the law that would permit God to divorce national Israel, because the law from the beginning was, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That was a fundamental law that God had established from the beginning. Therefore, in order for God to have a legal right to divorce national Israel for their fornication, God did introduce into the Bible the law of Deuteronomy 24. And remember, God is the lawgiver. God can establish his law. And he introduced into Deuteronomy 24 the law that if a man found some uncleanness in his wife, then he could write a bill of divorcement and put her away, and that was in accordance with the word of God. This word uncleanness, and that is why that was there as part of the ceremonial law. Now, later on, we're going to see that when Jesus came on the scene, at the time of the cross, The divorce was made final. God ended any spiritual relationship with national Israel, and at the same time, God rescinded that command so that it no longer would apply. And we'll see why that is as we go along. Now, the problem with this command was that, well, as a matter of fact, because this command was introduced into Deuteronomy 24, therefore, if some man found some uncleanness in his wife, he could put her away. But the problem arose, insofar as national Israel was concerned, in the application of this command for themselves. The problem arose as to what the meaning of uncleanness was. The word uncleanness, the Hebrew word that is used here, is a word that is used many, many times in the Bible, and normally it is translated nakedness. It is a word that has to do with a man looking upon the nakedness of his mother, or the nakedness of his sister, or the nakedness of anyone at all who he was not supposed to look upon their nakedness. In other words, he was having an adulterous relationship with someone he should not have an adulterous relationship with. It was God's intention that this word had to do with fornication, in other words. For example, in Leviticus it speaks about a man looking upon the nakedness of his father's wife. And in 1 Corinthians 5, God actually sets up an illustration of that kind of a sin in the church at Corinth, and speaks about a man living with his father's wife, and God speaks of that as fornication of the most vile kind. Fornication, God speaks of it. In other words, it was God's intention that Deuteronomy 24 the cause for a man divorcing his wife was that of fornication. But to the delight of the nation of Israel, that is the men within the nation of Israel, because notice this law did not give the women the right to divorce, not at all. They had no right to divorce. It's if a man found some uncleanness. As a matter of fact, there's no statement anywhere in the Bible that allows a woman to divorce her husband, or ever allowed a woman to divorce her husband for any cause whatsoever. And we'll see how the church has turned around a couple of verses of the New Testament to permit what is going on today, where women are divorcing their husbands for fornication or desertion or whatever. But going back to national Israel again, to the utter delight of the men of national Israel, they found a definition of uncleanness that gave them the right to divorce, that is, in their judgment, gave them the right to divorce their wife for any cause whatsoever. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 14, God had declared, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp, to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy." Oh, let me back up. I have to start with verse 13, or verse 12. "Thou shalt have a place also without the camp, whither thou shalt go forth abroad, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon, and it shall be when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, thou shalt dig therewith, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee." In other words, if the call of nature came upon a person, they were to go outside of the camp with a stick and make a little hole, and then when the discharge had come from their body, they were to cover it so that there would be no uncleanness seen. And then the reason for this is found in verse 14 of Deuteronomy 23, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee." Now he's referring to this matter of a bowel movement or a call of nature as an unclean thing that had to be covered. And as a matter of fact, any discharge from the body, a woman in her menstrual period, a person who had a cold and there was a dripping from the nose, anything at all that was a discharge from the body was looked upon as being unclean in conformity with the ceremonial law that God had established. But the word unclean thing that is found here in verse 14 of Deuteronomy 23 is the identical phrase that is found in Deuteronomy 24, verse 1, where God is talking about a man can divorce his wife if some uncleanness is found in her. The phrase some uncleanness is the identical phrase to, in the Hebrew, to unclean thing of Deuteronomy 23, verse 14. Now you can see what opportunity this gave to the men of national Israel. They could argue very righteously, very biblically, they felt, that God has now said that if there's any unclean thing found in his wife, and that could include any kind of a discharge, if he saw the wife in her any blood from the menstrual cycle, if he saw anything at all that was a discharge from her body, if she was having diarrhea and her clothes got stained with it, and he saw that, he would have a basis for divorce. And so, of course, that was just a tremendous law that the men of Israel really loved, because they could divorce their wife at almost any time, because repeatedly in the life of their spouse, with whom they were living in very intimate relationship, they would see some kind of a discharge from their wife's body. And that is why when God rescinded it later on, and we'll look at that when we also look briefly at Matthew 19, and Jesus rescinded that command, then the disciples, and you can just see the horror in their eyes as they said in verse 10, his disciples said unto him, this is Matthew 19, verse 10, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. In other words, if you are taking away the possibility of a man divorcing his wife for any reason whatsoever, then how dare a man marry a wife? Do you see why they were horror-stricken at this idea? Because God had, they thought, and ancient Israel had interpreted Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 and 2, to give any man a right to divorce his wife for almost any reason. And that is why in Mark 10, when Jesus asked them about what did Moses say, remember they said in verse 4, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. They didn't say for fornication. They just said to put her away. But God had introduced that law to only for the cause of fornication, because God realized that the nation of Israel would commit spiritual fornication again and again in the hardness of their heart, and therefore they could put him away, or God could put national Israel away. In Matthew 19, remember the question that the Pharisees asked in verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? That is the conclusion, you see, that they had come to, based on comparing Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 and 2, with Deuteronomy 23, verse 12 through 14. We can see very easily how they could decide that they could had a reason for, or had a basis for divorcing their wife at any time. And so Jesus is answering them, indicating that this was only for the hardness of your heart. And we see in the accounts like Isaiah 50 and Jeremiah 3 and Hosea 2 is another passage, that it was God's intention to divorce Israel for their spiritual fornication. But then Jesus comes to verse 6 of Mark 10. He says, but from the beginning of the creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. He is indicating that is not God's plan, that there is to be divorce for fornication, and certainly not divorce for any other reason. Well, We've just given a good introduction to this question. In our next study, we're going to develop it a little further, and we're going to see once what is the relationship between a husband and wife insofar as the biblical statement is concerned. And we're going to look again at Deuteronomy 22, where God talked about a woman or a man having his wife or the man and the woman being put to death that were caught in adultery. And we'll see how that applies also to this question. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you.